Welcome, geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we'll be talking The Art of the Arcade, a brand new exhibit that you can see at the St. Charles Foundry coming up on July 7th. Later on, we'll be talking with award-winning journalist Tony Harris about his new show on the History Channel, The Proof is Out There. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, four Hogwarts houses, one ring rolls and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
And if you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight listening to us on the big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're out there streaming us on the KTRS app or on the website, we're glad you found us there. No video tonight for those of you who might be wondering. My executive producer, Joey V, is out. And hopefully he'll be back next week. We'll have video again on Facebook and YouTube. If you are listening and haven't subscribed on Facebook or YouTube, please do that. That would make us very happy. And of course, if you're hearing us after the fact on whatever platform you get your podcasts from, we do appreciate you subscribing and listening there each week. Full show tonight. The first guest we have are in studio with us. We've got Jessica Manisi and Robert Schoengert. Did I say it right? Talking about the new exhibit at the Foundry for First Friday, and it's The Art of the Arcade, which greatly excited me because I'm spent so many quarters at arcades at Northwest Plaza at Tilt back in the day, Jamestown Mall. They had the arcade there and everything, so this is very exciting. Jessica, talk a little bit about the First Friday events themselves and how this was kind of decided to be one of the events.
Yeah, so our First Friday series is we have something going on the first Friday of every month, whether it's an opening, music, other programming that we might have. Of course, always art activities. Everything's always free. And so for this first Friday and the next first Friday, actually, will be for our Art of the Arcade exhibition. So the opening will be July 7th. And yeah, so when I was thinking about doing this, I immediately talked with Robert because, I mean, what better person who's just up the street from the Foundry Art Center to talk with about, okay, I want to put a bunch of games and just turn our art gallery into an arcade. For 3 months.
And then I immediately agreed to it and then realized I had nothing but broken games and put in. So I've been panic fixing stuff for the last year.
So with the event itself, for those of you who haven't been, if you're listening right now, you haven't been up to the Foundry to check it out, it's a gorgeous space. They have all sorts of events are up there. They're doing the Christmas bingo for the St. Charles Christmas traditions. They'll be doing that July 21st, I think. Tickets are still available. We'll get into that more when we talk about our premier sponsor, the City of St. Charles. But they also do weddings up there. The upper area is all art galleries. They had a 90s night.
Yeah.
Studios, yeah.
Yep.
So there's always something cool going on. How long have you been attached to the Foundry? How long have you been?
I've been there since December of 2020.
Okay, so it's been a while. Yeah.
I've been there for a little while now. Yeah. And I'm in charge of the exhibitions, so our main gallery. As well as our big art events. Like yesterday, we just had our steamroller printing event, which is the biggest steamroller printing event in the Midwest.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. And then, Robert, talking about, because you and I have known each other for a while, we've filmed 48-hour film festival stuff.
Right. I think that's how we first met.
Yeah. And, I mean, you've got Two Plumbers Brewery, which you guys opened, if I'm not mistaken, 2008. Was it 18?
17, I think. Yeah. March 17.
So, the craft beer and arcade, which to me, it's like the perfect marriage. So, I've gone up there and spent some time and just hung out. You get to just play the arcades and everything like that. You bring some quarters with you. You guys have the change machines. But when you opened this business, does that seem like something that I feel like people our age want to go out and play arcade games? Was this kind of a thing that's kind of people are missing that and you're filling that need?
kind of. It feels second nature. Like, obviously, beer and video games go together. But at the time, I really just, we were trying to start a brewery, and I happened to have collected arcade games for a long time. And none of my friends played them anymore when they came over. Hmm. So I was like, hey, we could just throw these in the brewery, and maybe it'll make us cooler. And then it just, we just kind of happened to hit the nostalgia nail on the head for timing, and it blew up, and we've been able to buy more games. I've got a hobby that pays for itself now. It's pretty great.
Yeah, that's nice. That's always helpful. If I could find a way to do that, I'd be in good shape. I mean, you've got the pinball machines too. There's an entire wall of pinball machines.
Yeah, I think we've got 12 pins right now.
Okay.
And they vary from, I think, Spider-Man is our oldest one, Amazing Spider-Man 81, I think, to we just got the new Weird Al Yankovic pinball machine.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that one yet.
Is super awesome. A little fragile, so we're learning its intricacies, but it mostly works.
Do you service these yourself, or do you have someone who, like, works with you, like the mechanical side, or?
Yeah, both. I work on them, and then I also have somebody who actually, it's a buddy of mine who got me into arcade collecting when he ran a video game store. He now works for me. It's very weird. I used to give him money.
Now he's on the...
Now, well, I guess I'm still giving him money.
That's true, yeah. But it's you're getting a different type of service out of it, though. But
yeah, it's a consistent friendship.
I'm curious, because I always thought about that. Like, one of the things I always talk to my wife about is if I ever get a, you know, we get a large enough house, I'd love to have, you know, like the Ricky Schroeder at Silver Spoons. He had those arcade games in his living room. I'd love to have that. But then I thought about it. As time goes on, A, they'll probably need more upkeep. B, it's hard to find people to service them. I assume, like, are there YouTube videos? Because you are young enough where you played them when you were little. Now you're able to. Are they easy to figure out? Is their mechanical stuff difficult?
Yeah, it's not bad. If you can figure out basic electronics, you can do most of the repairs. It just gets difficult. Kind of like right now, a big problem we're finding is that CRTs are kind of hitting the end of their lifespan.
Hmm.
So we've rebuilt stuff 4 or 5 times now, on top of however many times it was rebuilt before. And it's just giving up the ghost. I learned how to use old rejuvenators from the 70s so I could figure out how try and save these CRTs. And begrudgingly, I'm having to move on to LCDs. But, you know, there's tricks. You can add, like, line generators. So it adds the scan lines. So it looks more like what you're familiar with.
Okay.
And it's surprisingly effective. The purist in me still hates it. I would love to just have everything exactly the way it is, or it should be, but... I also have to make a living, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you'll see a lot of these. I know some arcades will have the flat panel thing. They'll obviously have adapters plugged in. They're still playing the games, but they don't have that same nostalgic quality, I guess. They're a little too slick-looking, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Best way to say it.
It's I don't know. It's hard to say. Most people don't care, I'm going to be honest.
Hmm.
My customers, hardly any of them ever care. It's just the weirdo collectors like me who go, an LCD, you're ruining it. I don't know. I can't play this game. Like most people are very happy and set incredibly good high scores.
Are you much of a gamer, Jessica? Did you grow up like we did, playing arcade games or anything like that?
Not as much. Like, I remember going to, you know, Showbiz Pizza, things like that as a kid, but I wasn't a hardcore gamer. I kind of got into it late. My parents were really hesitant for us to get, like, home games.
Hmm.
So it wasn't until the Super Nintendo and Game Boy that I was able to kind of get into it a little bit. But I'm learning a lot. I've been doing a lot of really fun research for this. Like, everything from Atari to, you know, the intricacies of pinball is, you know, you're talking about everything. It's been really fun.
I think a lot of people, when you say you're a gamer now to the people who might be Gen Z and everything like that, they're like, you know, they've got the Xbox One or they've got the PS5 and they're playing these interwoven games, like, you know, that are huge Far Cry and things like that. Where I think of gamer, it's like if you go to an arcade and you're playing, you know, Space Invaders, you're a gamer. So I think that kind of, it just shows how much time has changed between the games we used to think about and what you think of now, and how people's connotation of the word gamer kind of has changed too a little bit.
Fine example of the evolution of language.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And with the art of this, because the arcade, I was going through and scrolling some pictures on Pinterest, and I went down a rabbit hole. And next thing, my wife is like, it's dinner time! So I got to go in and eat. But they're like all the old Atari, like with for the 2600, the posters and everything like that. They're really, to me, that's, you know, nostalgia, all those posters, but even the art that they have on the side of the arcade boxes, the big giant 6-player X-Men one has this gorgeous Jim Lee art right on the side of it there. And so when you're thinking of the art of the arcade, there's so much room to cover. So what stuff did you decide to put as part of the exhibit?
Honestly, I'm still working on that.
Okay. It's a work in progress.
Even though we have a show in 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, definitely the sides of the cabinets, for sure, as well as there was a fascinating book that I got for research, which is just pictures of all, like, home gaming consoles, things like that, like, just the games themselves, which is really interesting. But then also I'm going to shine a spotlight on the developers and artists and creators of the games themselves. So I've been doing a lot of research, and I'll have a lot of things, like, you know, about the history of the games and the artists that created it and how everything really ultimately, I think what this exhibition shows is that art is everywhere and everything is art. So I think it'll open some eyes.
I'm interested to see, too, what people's concept will be, because when you art is subjective. It always has been.
Of course.
When you look at something now, when we look at these glorious graphics, like some of the video games look like you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
But then I think of Don Bluth and Dragon's Lair and Space Ace, which were the first interactive video games in, what, 82, 83?
I'm bad with my years, but I do uselessly know that that was the first arcade game that cost 50 cents.
Yeah.
The cabinet itself cost so much, that caused a huge uproar.
And for those of you who've never played, if you're listening right now, Dragon's Lair and Space Ace are one of those games where I'd, Mom, can I have 50 cents? I'd put them in. I'd die in like 2 seconds, because if you don't move exactly when the thing starts to flash, you're done.
Yeah, it's immediate.
It's like watching a cartoon, though. Even then, they made cartoons on Saturday mornings based on those characters. So not only is the art of the game on the side and the panels and everything, but the game itself is kind of a form of artwork, which
Absolutely.
Is very meta.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're going through curating and everything like that, I know you're donating some of the pieces you have. If I could form the question correctly, I'd like to buy a vowel. Where did you decide, like, did you want to start with very early games? Did you decide you want to come in at a certain an age to kind of showcase when the art had been more fleshed out? How did the two of you kind of decide what pieces would be included?
Well, honestly, and that, again, that's something we're still working out, is because something I didn't realize is that with what Robert does, the games are constantly needing to be rotated, whether, you know, based on popularity or if they need to be serviced, things like that. So we're still kind of working that out of what's that. And as far as what I had in mind, I was open to anything and everything. So, I mean, as well as the pinball machine, you know, the cabinet games, we're going to have an Atari hooked up for people to play. We're going to have board games in there, too.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Memorabilia. Yeah. A little bit of everything. I'm really excited. Robert gave us an old non-functioning, it's non-functioning, right?
Oh,
the pinball machine, an old Gottlieb's Mayfair, and we're going to get custom made into a painter. So, So then it'll be another kind of layer of art of the arcade, because people can come in and the balls are dipped in ink.
You can't say balls on the air. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
shoot. I knew I was going to mess this up. But yeah, they're dipped into ink, and then people get to play a game of pinball. And as the balls run across the paper that we load and reload.
Oh, neat. That's really cool.
It's going to make paintings.
Yeah, can't wait to see it.
With a pinball machine.
And so. I know with other events in St. Charles, a lot of these things the St. Charles puts on are a lot of free events. There are some ticketed events. If people are kind of curious, if you might be listening, is there a cost to get in?
Absolutely not.
It's just completely free?
We are completely free. Yeah.
And then there'll be activities. And this is an all-ages thing, too, I want to point out, too. That anyone, very
for
cool.
For sure. Yeah.
If you're listening right now, if you have a question for either Jessica or Robert, you can text us at 84126 on the KTRS text lines, and we will ask your question throughout the course of the evening. We're going to take a very quick commercial break. We are going to come right back talking more Art of the Arcade. Again, text your questions 84126 or give us a call on the KTRS phone line 314-931-5877. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Charles Martinet, Super Mario, woo-hoo! And you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio, heard here on the Big 550 every Sunday night. Want to make sure we tell you about our official food sponsor, Steve's Hot Dogs. If you are looking for some good food, Steve's Hot Dogs has you covered. You can get the Chicago dog, the chili cheese dog. They have specialty dogs as well, like their backyard barbecue dog, topped with baked beans, potato salad, and barbecue sauce. Gorilla mac and cheese dogs, one of my favorites. It's got the rich mac and cheese on there, chopped bacon, crispy onions. If you're not sure what you want, you can do a hot dog flight. It's eight halves of their different hot dogs on their menu. You can grab that. And maybe you haven't been down there. Maybe you're like, oh, I don't know what to do tonight. Do this. Go online to stevshotdogsstl.com. This is the last week you can do this. If you want to order online, have it delivered to you by Grubhub or DoorDash, put in the code GEEK2ME at checkout. You save $5 off your order of $25 or more. That's a special coupon code just for my listeners. Save yourself some money. Your wallet and your stomach will be happy. But if you do get to go down there, they've got cocktails too. And Steve is a Star Wars fan, so he's got cocktails like the Baby Yoda, the Rancorita, the Old Republic, the Jar Jar drinks. It's a lot of fun. If you get a chance to go down there, and they've got a Miss Pac-Man Galaga game down there at their location on Grand as well, so you can play some arcade as well while you're down there. Steve's Hot Dogs, STL.com. Very happy to have them as our food sponsor here on Geek to Me Radio. Chatting Arcades with Jessica Manisi and Robert Schoengert of The Foundry in St. Charles and Two Plumbers Brewery, talking about the Art of the Arcade, their event going on July the 7th. Curious with the games, we're talking a little bit off air because at Two Plumbers, and I've actually got a text from someone in the 636 area code. I guess I haven't asked this. Where is Two Plumbers located, and do you have a website?
Yeah, it's in St. Charles, Missouri, First Capital and 70, right off the highway. It's pretty quick. And then we do have a website, twoplumbers.com, twoplumbers.com.
Yeah, and we'll, if you're listening after the fact, scroll down to the bottom of the page. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. But thank you, caller from the 636 area code, for that question. With the arcades, every time I'm in there, you've got a couple of different ones. I'm assuming you rotate them out based on how many quarters are being plugged in. It's like, this one's not getting enough love. Let's put something new in its place.
Yeah, that, and just if it decides to break, it's like having a room full of classic cars. They look like they're fine, and then you turn them on that day, and no, they just don't feel like it, or one side of the light gun stops working or whatever. So if it's an easy repair, we leave it in, no problem. Some stuff, it's a who knows how long it'll take to get parts or whatever, so we'll pull it out and throw in another game. And it also keeps it fresh. I like to rotate stuff out. I don't have – it's not the biggest space in the world, and it's definitely not enough room for my whole collection. So just kind of a nice way to share stuff. And it also lets me put in some weird stuff that I know isn't really going to make any money, but you know, just fun to put in for the hardcore collectors out there or the hardcore gamers.
That's the one you were talking about off here, the Ninja Robot Batman or whatever it was?
Ninja Baseball Batman.
Batman.
It has nothing to do with Batman. It's a four-player beat-em-up like Ninja Turtles or X-Men. Same era, I think. They put 50 U.S. copies out. Hmm. One of my buddies happened to find one and buy it and was like, hey, you want to throw it in the arcade just to see if anybody plays it? And no one really plays it, but I think it's pretty cool to have. We're probably the only place in the country with it out for you to play.
Wow.
So... huh. Some fun stuff like that. Some Japanese stuff. I've collected a lot of stuff over the years. And if I get a little too nerdy, it's
that's
okay.
Fine. You're
sorry.
On the right show for it.
But it, there was an industry standard for a long time, the JAMA standard.
Yeah.
And you could kind of swap out boards. It's pretty much the same wiring harness, a few changes here and there. It's never as easy as you want it to be. But for the most part, you could throw in a ton of different games. We have a couple of cabinets that we built ourselves just for swapping games. So we try and do that every couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening who might be more my age, the Ground Round at St. Charles Rock Road and 270 was there, and they had a Nintendo Play Choice 10, which was one of my favorite because you could literally scroll through the top monitor, pick the game. I think you've got one of those
I've got
your
one.
Arcade.
Yeah, it effectively is Nintendo hardware. The games themselves have a second chip on them that works for that second monitor, and it gives you tips for the games or the instruction manual. It's kind of neat. It always drives me nuts, but it's you pay by minute,
right,
or something like that. It's been a little. I have keys. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's got time. You've got a time limit. And if you want to add on time, it'll stop in the middle of your game. So if you want to continue, pop in another quarter, and you get another 10 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I guess that also allows other people to come in and play. So
yeah, and then they put out a ton of games for it. It's the only way in the U.S. you could officially play the first Goonies game. We got Goonies 2, but there was a first one, and it was on the PlayChoice and in other countries too, but we never got it here in the U.S. except that.
It was such a cool, because you had the light gun use, so if you decide you want to play Hogan's Alley, you could switch to that, and then you could also drop over and play Kung Fu or Castlevania, which I think Kung Fu is loaded on the one at your place as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you think I'd remember all of them on there. I know Gauntlet is on there, a couple of Super Mario Brothers games. I don't know. I have no idea. This is how you know I haven't changed them out in a little while.
Which is good, because that's one of my favorites, so don't change it out if I pull it all. With the arcades that are coming in, do you have any that you, Jessica, are favorite arcades of yours that you either really enjoyed playing or that as you're doing your research going back, like, oh my gosh, I played this all the time at this particular arcade. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of memories come back, but what are some of your favorite arcade games?
Oh, let's see. Well, Robert unlocked a core memory. I completely forgot that I loved the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I think that was the one that I went to. But then I'm very basic, so I still love just Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the original, not the
original.
Not the Super Mario.
Oh
Bros.
Yeah, the original one.
Where you have to hit the POW in the middle of the screen to turn them all upside down.
That's a
good choice.
Yeah.
There's a chance we'll have that one in.
Sweet.
It's for the night. It's almost working. Almost completely working.
Okay. Keep my fingers crossed. But then, also, another being very basic, but we're going to have Pac-Man.
Oh, well, I mean,
everyone's
going to
be,
the one that started it all off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think when you see these too, when you go to them, some of the ones I would try playing when I was little at Showbiz Pizza, like you mentioned, just because the art looked really cool. I'm like, what's this game about? And you'd go get it and sit down. What were some of your favorites, Robert?
Oh, man. I guess I have to start out with just saying Initial D. It's a driving game based on the Japanese anime. Hmm. It's kind of a reason we started doing the arcade stuff was so that I could afford to justify buying one. and we've got twin unit for Initial D4 in the bar, and we do have licenses for it. I have to sell them for, I think they're like $450, which is my cost on them. There's a couple of people in Japan that still have them, and you can kind of track them down.
Hmm.
We keep the games super cheap, though, so it evens out. It's 50 cents for our drivers, 25 cents for most of the other ones. Pins vary.
Yeah, and then you've got some of the shooters in there, like Time Crisis.
Yeah, Time Crisis
2,
that was a necessity. That I worked at an arcade when that game came out, and the arcade I worked at wouldn't let you play at all. You had to go to another arcade. They owned a couple. I won't name names. They're out of business anyway.
Huh.
But it was really stressful to watch people have fun all day.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of those ones, because if anyone listening, you hit the pedal to pop your head up and shoot, then you'd let go of the pedal with your foot to duck back down and reload. And it kind of really required a lot of hand-eye thing, and it's one of my favorite games. Every time
super
I go in,
super novel
I think I
when it came out too. Yeah. Like it was just the first light gun game to do anything like that. It still throws people off to this day.
Which the gun games from that era, I always think of House of the Dead.
Yep.
There were a lot of those two-player simultaneous, and then going back as far as even like Operation Wolf, I had the two machine gun pistols. You're like right elbow to elbow with your friend shooting at the same little screen. This kind of changed that though.
Operation Wolf was only a one-player game. Operation Thunderbolt, the sequel, is a two-player.
That's what I'm thinking of. See?
But nobody realizes it's a sequel, so it doesn't make any money. I need to fix my Operation Wolf and put it in.
And one of the more fun games I remember playing was the Aerosmith game, which was licensed because Aerosmith lent their vocal talents to it. And you're firing CDs at the bad guys, these CDs that would cut through the bad guys as you shot them from your thing.
I vaguely remember this
one. It was
the
same era as the Terminator T2
mm-hmm.
game.
Yeah.
It's a very similar play style, but ridiculous Aerosmith theme. And there was a three-player version of that one.
They're
pretty hard to find, but they exist.
And talking about the four-player, you mentioned, Jessica, the Turtles game. I think there was another era in the early 90s, I guess, when we had Simpsons. We had Turtles. There was a Spider-Man game where you're Black Cat, Spider-Man, Hawkeye, and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But the Avengers had one. But then there's one of my favorites is that giant six-player X-Men where you can play you and five of your friends, your Dazzler, Colossus, Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Cyclops, and Storm, and you go through all these sequences. You're fighting Magneto and Juggernaut. Do you have one of those?
I don't, but I do have a story about it. Years ago when I started collecting, one of my buddies found one and bought it, and it will not fit through a standard size house door.
No, it will not.
Even it separates. It comes into pieces. It does not matter. So he sold that one.
Mm.
It stayed in his garage for a little while, and then he sold it.
Yeah,
and now I wish I could find one because they're just impossible to get hold of.
Yeah, I think I've seen them go on eBay every time they'll pop up, but someone wants like $12,000 for it, plus shipping.
Like everything else with the pandemic, prices just, arcade prices are crazy now.
So did that affect you as far as your buying? Have you kind of slowed down on buying?
Yeah, it definitely stopped the amount of like new full cabinets I was getting. We've relied more on just kind of fixing the stuff we've had and keeping it going and swapping it out between our event space and more my home collection or whatever.
And the event space, do you want to mention that at all?
Oh, yeah. So we have an event space also about a mile and a half down the road, Friedens Road in St. Charles. Effectively, it's our brew house. That's where we do most of our brewing now. We just couldn't keep up with our own demand, which is good problems to have.
Yeah, no kidding.
We do that, and we had enough space there. We were like, hey, let's see if anybody wants to rent out an arcade for events, and it works out pretty good. All the games are on free play, so if you rent it out, it's just part of the package thing. Get more details, twoplumbers.com.
Yeah, they get the pricing, everything like that, and all that. Well,
I think we have some basic pricing on there. It's events are such a, it varies depending on how many people I have to have come work that day and things like that. So,
very cool. And with the items that are going to be on display at the First Friday event at the Foundry, Jessica, when you're encompassing this, did you have like we're going to see stuff like you mentioned very early on? You're going to have the early Ataris all the way to modern era. Like, are there going to be PS5s that people can play, or where was the kind of
there might
the
be
span?
Yeah, I think so far the span is, because I'm still getting some people calling and saying, oh, I have something. Hmm. I think we're going to have at least an Xbox.
Okay.
So that'll probably be the newest thing that we have in there. But yeah.
And this will be just set up all on that first floor around then, and some of the tucked into the, like they have that little area, that cordoned off area where it's kind of one of their art spaces. But then
all
the main floor, or is it just the main floor area?
It's just the galleries.
The gallery, okay.
So because this is a 3-month exhibition.
Oh,
so
okay.
It'll be open through September 23rd.
All right. See, I thought it was just me the one night. I'm like, that's a lot of work
bringing
these things in for one
night.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay,
no.
That's very cool.
3 months, yeah.
So it'll start on the 7th.
It starts on the 7th,
through.
All the way through. We'll have tons of programming throughout. I know, especially with the event space, you know, the Two Plumbers is getting ready to open up. We want to do some tie-ins with that. We're going to have some weekly competitions. We'll have a high scoreboard going on in the galleries. So, everyone can come and play games in the art gallery.
The entire time.
Months.
And like she said,
I'm
going to
get no work done. Yeah.
Free to come? Well, I'm curious because a lot of people I know when you're at the arcade, no food and drink. I'm sure, you know, some of the stuff you've got in there, you don't want things spilled on. Mm-hmm. Are there going to be snacks and everything that people want to have them but don't bring them over to the game table?
At least for First Friday and those, the big programming events that we'll have during the run of the show, we'll probably have food and drink in there, but it'll be... We'll definitely have some attendance, gallery attendance, things like that.
They can't do anything worse than happens in the arcade.
That's a really good
point. Put a bunch of arcade games in a brewery. Go ahead.
Yeah.
People spill beer.
Well, you've got those nice tables where people can set them at least from. They're not putting them on the console.
We try and encourage people to cause as less accidental damage as possible.
Right.
But things happen. Some of the games we've moved parts around internally just because we know, okay, somebody's probably going to put a beer here, and if it spills, mm-hmm. it's going to dump onto this, and that's a really hard part to find. So,
that's clever.
Yeah.
And with Two Plumbers adding some of their items to this event, will you guys also be doing any of your brews at the event for the First Friday?
Yeah, I believe so. That
yes.
We'll have some beers to taste. Samples or tell?
No.
I don't have any idea.
We'll get you in touch with our.
We're gonna make sure there's beer
person.
There. That's all.
Oh
I
yeah,
know.
Okay. Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So and just because we've talked about the gaming, talk a little bit about the craft beer side of the business.
So that's the real money for the business. I would love to tell you that a classic arcade pays the bills, but it pays its own parts and repairs and buys the occasional new one. Wow, this is how you can tell that I'm the arcade half of the business, and I should have my business partner, the other plumber, if you will.
Hmm.
And he can start talking about all the different beers. But we try and do traditional styles. We're not – I know we should be trying to do whatever the most popular thing is, but it's just not the kind of beers that we drink. Hmm. And I'm tired of working for other people, so I'm going to do what I want to do and hope other people – at least somebody out there likes it. So far, it's all right. But we'll do Oktoberfest. We've got year round. We have red ale, Irish red ale. Got a blonde ale. We just started a new English brown ale that we put on. We have 14 taps or so. Four of them are ciders, so we actually started making our own ciders, too.
Okay.
If you don't like beer but you want to try something craft-made, come in and check out some of that stuff.
Very cool. And you, what are the hours, too, I should ask?
Oh, yeah. So weekdays, it's so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 to 11 o'clock. Friday, 3 to midnight. Saturday, noon to midnight. Sunday, noon to 6, and that's our family-friendly day, so it's all ages.
Oh, nice.
The rest of the time, we're 21 and up. You can go there to avoid your family. But on Sunday, you can go there to spend time with your family.
Well, that's great. That's perfect. And again, it's just twoplumbers.com?
Yeah.
Okay, for the website. And if people want to find out more about the event or any of the events, because you guys always are doing cool things at the Foundry, Jessica, what's the discoverstcharles.com is the website that will lead you
that's
to the Foundry.
That's kind of our parent, but our direct website is foundryartcenter.org. And of course, center is fancy, and it's R-E instead of E-R.
So it's very British, Foundry Arts Center.
French, yes.
Right,
yeah.
Or French, yes. European, for sure. Regardless.
Sure. Yeah.
And if you want to check out these events, we'll have links to those in the show notes as well if you're listening after the fact. But if you are listening to us live, make sure you check out those. And again, we'll be talking more about those in the coming weeks and promoting the event and all the other cool stuff they've got going on at the Foundry. Social media handles? I know we talked a little bit off air, not too big on the social media, but you've got
Yeah, for the brewery, definitely. It's Two Plumbers at everything. It's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know, we don't have a TikTok. I guess that's the point where I realized I was old.
I'm right there with you. I don't have TikTok either, so it's fine. And then
we're at Foundry Art Center on everything.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Jessica, Robert, I appreciate you coming in tonight.
Thanks
very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. And if you're in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, make sure you check out these events. We'll have links in the show notes. We're going to take another quick break. Coming right back. Bring you more on the Big 550 KTRF.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio, heard here on every Sunday night. I'm your host, James Enstall. Real quick, we want to tell you about our official comic book sponsor, Bugs Comics and Games in O'Fallon. It's right there off of Bryan Road. If you're going out Highway 70, you can get to it. From the Page Extension, you can get to it. If you're looking for a new comic book store, I know we lost several during the pandemic. If you are looking for a new comic book store to go to, Bugs Comics and Games on Bryan Road is your place. It's one of those, I was in there this past week and I was talking to Larry, the owner, and I said, man, it's not a comic book store to me if they don't have back issues. I want to go in and I want to see those comics from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s and things like that. So Larry's got comic book boxes of those comics. And if you're worried about, I don't want to go in and spend a bunch of money, he's got some comics that are like, you know, Avengers number 4 from 1963, first Captain America, which you're going to pay a little bit more for. But he's also got boxes of comics that every comic in this box is $5. And he's got Bronze Age. He's got Copper Age. He's also got new comics. So every Wednesday, it's like having a little Christmas right in the middle of the week. You go there and get your new comic books. If you're buying Marvel, DC, IDW, Image Comics, whatever it might be, Larry will get it. And if he doesn't have it, you can always say, hey, I'd love to get this comic. I did that with Shadow Man from Valiant. I wanted the Shadow Man comic. He ordered a couple copies to make sure I could get one. And I know the economy is rough out there, folks. If you're looking to save money anywhere you can, like everybody else is trying to do, join the Avengers Club. That way you're saving money on your pull list. You can say, I want these comics pulled for me. Boom, you're going to start saving 10, 15, 20%, depending on the level of your buying, you know, how many comics you're getting. And you can also apply that savings to bags and boards, action figures, whatever you need to get for your hobby. Larry's got it. He's always buying comics. So if you're looking to sell, give Larry a call. Tell him you heard about it on Geek to Me Radio. He'll give you the best price in town. And of course, if you're looking to buy, the fact that he's always buying gives you more options when you go in there, and you can always hunt through his back issues, his dollar bins, and everything else he's got. Once again, Bugs Comics and Games, give their Facebook page a like. Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook. Very proud to have them as our official comic book sponsor here on Geek to Me Radio. My next guest is an award-winning journalist. He's got season 2 of a brand new series on the History Channel. The proof is out there. Here is my interview with Tony Harris. Right now we're talking to award-winning host, veteran TV journalist Tony Harris. His series, The Proof is Out There, brand new episodes, started on Friday the 9th. You can see him at 10 o'clock p.m. on the History Channel. Tony, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. It's great to be with you, James. Thank you.
Of course. I appreciate your time. This series is so much fun. It's almost like you get to be a cross between Fox Mulder and the Indiana Jones.
It's really good. Yeah, I like that. I think I'll own that. Maybe I can do a t-shirt for it.
Perfect, yes.
It's been great, and people have been really receptive to the program, which is always fun and a joy and unexpected.
So with all the different stuff, I mean, you've done true crime podcast. You obviously, you know, worked on CNN. You're a Peabody Award winner for some of your stories you covered there and everything like that. How did you fall into this kind of genre slash gig?
It's a really cool story. There was a producer who saw me on TV and watched my show at CNN and wanted a kind of a more critical look at this space, right? Obviously, the paranormal space is one of those spaces like true crime that seems to have really taken off. Those two are the most successful genres in television, really, this whole paranormal UFO UAP space. And true crime, and I've been fortunate enough to work in both. But he said, look, we just want to give it a go. Would you be willing to do it? And he was a little concerned, thinking that, you know, the journalist in me would not want to be in this space. But I've been curious my whole damn life. And so I was looking for a different place, and I'm always looking for a different place to apply the skills that I've learned as a journalist. I work with some of the best journalists in the world at CNN. And I wanted to find, and always will want to find, different places where I can do that kind of work. And so we came together on this idea and this concept, and it was brilliant. The team at History that created it, in terms of the format is really the key, and the experts really make it go. And I just I'm in the fortunate position of being able to sort of ask, you know, questions in the way that an audience member would, and get to challenge stuff that either I don't believe or I'm skeptical about. And then we get to render a verdict at the end of the show that makes us different from, you know, anyone else doing this kind of work. So it's been fascinating and rewarding, and I'm having more fun than I should.
And getting paid for it, which is even better.
Yeah, and that too.
I'm one of those people. I'm on that edge where I try to be skeptical. And it's like, well, that can't be real.
Good.
But there's that part of my brain Good. That wants so badly for some of this stuff to be real. And when you look at stuff that you're going to be covering on The Proof Is Out There, like Loch Ness, I feel like we've now gone down and completely mapped out the Titanic. Yeah. How can we not get drones in there and search for this creature that's been purported for so many years?
Yes. Part of it, that specific part of your question is about the depth. You're right. The depth of Loch Ness, 750 feet, that shouldn't be that much of a challenge, right? But the other side of it is just how dark and murky it is. And that's proven to be a real challenge, right? And do I think we'll get there at some point? Yeah. But, you know, where we stand right now, you know, whenever someone captures something that looks strange or odd or something, thankfully in our little world that we live in, they send it to our little team and we get to work on it and trying to figure it out. But, you know, an even more honest answer to that is, you know, people are fascinated by it. I mean, it's one of those things. There are a couple of tent poles in this space, right? It's Loch Ness. It's, you know, people are going to get tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
Right. They, you know, even if you're essentially just rerunning the known facts of it, you know, people are going to get tired of it. It's a Bigfoot story, right? It's the UAP story. People never get tired of hearing that. Think about how many times we've done shows on Bigfoot, right?
Right.
On graves and those kinds of things. So some of these things are just staples of this community, and people are so such believers, such confirmed believers, that whenever there's anything, even a morsel of something that feels new or something, they gobble it up. So, I mean, the obvious answer is there is a part of what we do that loves the idea, and I'm not ashamed of it in any way, shape, or form, of feeding the audience stuff that they really like in the space. But what we try to do is give them something new. What's the new morsel? Here's the new morsel. Check out this video from a couple out on vacation, you know, in Scotland. They go to the lock and they see something. They grab their cell phones and they send the video to us and we analyze it. And for a lot of people who are in this space for decades, that's enough for them.
Yeah.
That's enough for them. So that's as honest an answer as I can give you on that.
And obviously, we don't want to spoil anything. We want people to tune in and check out these new episodes. But the one that, kind of intrigued me is the story of the marine scientists have found a yellow brick road at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Can you tell us at all, how is Elton John involved?
Oh, and I love that song. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. You know, it's what that ties to. And so one of the ways that video makes our show is that it's odd, it's strange, it's been captured, and it has a link to history. Either something that is factual in history, something that has become mythological, right, in our understanding of a story. And so that links, that story links to what we know, what we think we know, what we believe, but can't yet prove about the lost city of Atlantis. Mm-hmm. All right. And so that's why that video is so compelling. It's, you know, is it a road? Is it just a, it's just a pavement? What is it? A walkway that leads us along the yellow brick road to the lost city of Atlantis. And even now you see, just for me explaining that one segment of the show, how much fun the show is to do.
I'm sure. And one of the things I always wonder too, with we're talking more and more in the news lately about the dangers of AI, the possibility of things being deep faked. Yes. So when you're doing a show like the one you're doing, and you know there's stories, people still wonder the Bermuda Triangle, what happened to Amelia Earhart. With AI and deep fakes, does that make your job harder, or does it make it actually more fodder for you guys to go after?
Well, it's both, right? So it's more challenging because we've gotten to a place now, thanks to the audience following us and watching us and talking about us and tweeting about us and Instagram IGing us and whatever else. We've gotten to a place where people want to beat us.
Yeah.
Right. They want to get something past us. So it's the deep fake is got to be the deeper fake. The deeper fake has to be the deepest fake. And can we get that past, you know, Tony's team and the proof team? And so we've got some of the best people in the business working on audio and working on video, working on drums and bass for us. So we've got some of the best people in the business in our little band taking this apart. But you're right to suggest that the idea of AI, you know, coming more online for more people is going to be a challenge for us. We welcome it. We want to be the place. We literally want to be the place where people come to, and when they see our research on it, when they see our verdict on it, they trust us to share that information. So we're working toward becoming the most trusted place for analyzing some of these videos, and AI is definitely going to be a challenge for us, but we're up for it.
And I know we're coming up on the end of our time, but I want to ask you, I'm very curious too, with the research that your team does, you've got this crack team. You're, like you said, you're investigating it. If you think it's a deep fake, you have to go deeper into it. From the time the idea of, hey, let's do an episode on this, to the time all your research is gathered, how long does it normally, like one episode per se, take to compile from the genesis of the idea to the final, okay, this is airing this coming Friday?
Yeah, I can tell you we started, I'm trying to remember when we wrapped our last batch of episodes, but it's gotten to a place now that there are maybe 3 months
time. Wow.
I could be wrong about this, where we're not actively producing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The other 9 months we're working.
Okay.
We're working. Because we started with maybe 8 producers on the show and our panel of experts. But now we're up to close to 30 people working almost year round on this program, right? I mean, there's a natural season to these things, but you know, we're even in the course of producing it, we're always going back, we're checking, we're running everything through the Cuisinart again and again and again to make sure, you know, that the information is best and is current and as reliable as we can make it. But I think there's only maybe a few months of a break at all for the team from season to season working on the show. And, you know, knock wood, they're adding new episodes for us. So it's just a real, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches for us at this moment.
And if you want to check out those riches, you can see them. It began Friday the 9th on History Channel. You can catch it 10 o'clock Eastern. If people want to keep up with you, Tony, where can people find you? Social media handles, things like that?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at, where's my Instagram? Tony Harris MM for my company. So Tony Harris MM on Instagram. And I'm at Tweet Tony Harris for as long as I stay on that godforsaken site. Tweet Tony Harris.
Perfect. We'll keep up with you there. Looking forward to seeing what mysteries you uncover on the History Channel on The Proof is Out There. I appreciate your time today.
Oh, I loved it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you.
We're going to take our final commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550. Please stand by.
Hi, I'm Jim Pinnock, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio. Get in touch with your inner geek.
We are back, wrapping it up for our final segment here on Geek to Me Radio. My thanks again to Jessica and Robert for coming in and talking about the art of the arcade again. That'll be July 7th, running for several months. You can go check that out at the Foundry in St. Charles. Of course, thanks to Tony Harris for his time. You can check out The Proof is Out There on the History Channel. I think we're about four or five episodes deep into it now, and that'll be running. You can check that out if you're one of those people who likes mysteries and what things that go bump in the night. You can check that series out there. I want to make sure we tell you about our premier sponsor, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. Just like we were talking about with the first Friday events at the Foundry, there's always something going on down in St. Charles. It's a great place to visit, whether you're from out of town or whether you're here local and just haven't been there for a while. Right across the Blanchette Bridge, historic St. Charles has something for everybody. If you're a foodie, my goodness, they just opened up a brand new restaurant at the Tompkins House there. You can go in and get some great food and cocktails. If you're wanting barbecue, there's Salt and Smoke. They've got a Peruvian restaurant on North Main, literally something to fit every taste bud. And I always recommend, if you're wanting to satisfy your sweet tooth craving, head down to Magpies. Their homemade blackberry cobbler is outstanding. These little shops and businesses all along that area, this is a great time to get out and support these small local businesses because they need help more than just about anybody else. You can do that by visiting the website discoverstcharles.com. If you are looking to come and check a new place off your bucket list for traveling, whether you want to stay in an RV park, a campsite, a bed and breakfast, a world-class hotel with first-class accommodations, St. Charles has something to fit every budget and every style, whether you're wanting to camp or glamp. You can do it all in St. Charles. Again, start at the website, discoverstcharles.com. That's discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. We're already through the month of June, which means, as you all know, if I'm checking the calendar to make sure, yes, July is next. Next Sunday, even though it is a 4th of July holiday weekend, I will still be here doing a live show because I love you all that much. We'll have Mitch Halleck on the phone from Connecticut talking about Terrificon. If you've not been to that event before, you probably heard me talk about it. I've gone there, I think, the past 3 years. It's one of the top five, in my book, Comic Cons in the country. He's going to have Walton Louise Simonson will be there. Ron Frenz will be there. He's got Cal Dodd, the voice of Wolverine. He's got some Star Trek people like Jonathan Frakes, who will be there with his wife, Jeannie Francis, if you're a Days of Our Lives or General Hospital fan. So you can meet the couple, get your Star Trek fix and your soap opera fix, all from the same place. Bring your comic books, get stuff signed. It's a great time. He'll be talking all about that and what it takes to put on an event like that. We've got actors and writers with us for the rest of the month. It's one of those things when I started this show, I was kind of like, who am I going to get? And now I'm a matter of, oh my gosh, do I have time to squeeze this guest in? So we've got a full boat for you every Sunday next month, five different Sundays, a total of, it looks like, 12 guests. So it's going to be a full month next month, and I want to make sure we tell you again to check out our other sponsors, Steve's Hot Dogs, stevshotdogsstl.com. Use the code GEEKTOME at checkout. Bugs Comics and Games, give their Facebook page a like over there. If you have a guest or something you'd like me to look at or check out or have on the show, you can email me directly, geektomeradio@gmail.com. So that I don't discard it as spam, put a big all capital letters in the subject line, guest show idea, so I know what it is, and we do our best to answer those every single time I see them come through. My thanks to Joey V, who makes the show sound and look as good as it does when he's here, and he always puts a lot of work in on the website and the podcast, so thanks to him for doing all that work.
And of course, I want to thank Max on Movies, who is up next, leads into my show every single Sunday. So make sure you stick around. If you're a movie buff, that's a show you're going to want to check out. That's going to do it for us. So until next week, my friends, this is James Enstall signing off for Geek to Me Radio.
Kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome, bit.ly/geektome.